contactee,
Alex Collier.
Alex Collier. Alex Collier.
Webinar 13. We're going to go down the depths to Atlantis. We're going to explore deja vu, CERN, and timelines. As usual, there'll be a question and answer session at the end.
So, good afternoon, everybody, and I'll just get my camera on. Good afternoon. Hi, how is everybody on this beautiful July day? It's just about gotten warm enough to walk out without a jumper on in Scotland, so I maybe won't put the stove on tonight, but it's like everybody else is sweltering in heat waves. People's cats are melting, and here I am. I'm just walking around, like, took off my jacket yesterday. All right, so good evening, and Alex, good afternoon. How are you? Good morning. Yeah, good morning to you.
Well, it's actually 12:01, so it is afternoon. Good afternoon, JP.
Midday. Yeah. How are things over in Colorado?
Oh, they're hot. There were a couple of dogs fighting over a fire hydrant here. It's so hot.
So, today's webinar is you've got some stuff we can digest
today
at the beginning and look forward to.
Today we're going to talk about hidden portals in the Earth's magnetic field, the solar system's tilting, the Messiah coming on planet X, and we're going to spend a great deal of time after those current stat items, and we're going to talk about Atlantis, what I have been told about Atlantis. What apparently really happened and who the people were, and a great deal about the culture of Atlantis. And it's going to be in depth. We're going to talk a great deal about many different things when we get to the Atlantis part, because there are a lot of parallels to what happened then to what is happening now. You could almost say history is sort of repeating itself. So it should be interesting. I know that I found that absolutely fascinating. So, okay, I guess we're good to go then. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. It's always an honor and a pleasure to share this time and this space with you, and I want you to know that I more than appreciate you giving me your attention for an hour and a half now every couple of weeks, as opposed to once a month. And my intention is to give you information that is relevant to the times, so that you can put things in perspective, because there are many people who are extremely confused about what is going on. They can't quite put their finger on it. They know something is wrong. They sense it on multiple levels of themselves, even those who are very intuitive know that there's something terribly wrong, and they can't quite put their finger on it. The governments of the world, they're showing their incompetence. And they are choosing to be more ruthless in many ways, or secretive, as opposed to just telling everybody what's really going on. So it is my hope that the information that you get here is useful. And I'm giving it to you the way I got it. So here we go. As you know, in the past, we have talked about portals. In fact, in the last webinar, I referenced a portal that was created by CERN CERN that opened up a portal, and we saw the light. For those of you who went and saw the video, you saw the light, which was a ship going into the portal, and I explained what's going on. It's just looping into emerging timeline. Okay, so they're not... they're going somewhere, but they're coming back. Okay, so they're not vacating the area. Well, what's interesting is that NASA no such, never a straight answer, is now talking about the fact that they have uncovered hidden portals in Earth's magnetic field. And they have been able to at least document three, and they are now able to predict where they're going to open or see them when they open. Now, what's also fascinating about this is that these portals open and they're inconsistent as to where or how long they stay open. But what's fascinating is these portals, when they open, they go directly to the sun, 93 million miles away. And it's a straight shot, totally unencumbered. Boom, they go straight to the sun when they open. Now, what's fascinating about that, if you have been following the A's information for years and years and years, they have said on many occasions, and I have shared it on even more occasions, that when they send messages to their home worlds, regardless of where they are in the galaxy, they use stars to send that information to the home world. They don't have a phone. They don't use wireless. They use stars to send information, to relay information, because suns, stars, are in fact portals. And I find that fascinating. And I'm going to ask with my next conversation with Mornay regarding those portals, exactly what their function is, etc. But, I mean, just the fact that they've admitted it is actually pretty huge, folks. Because for years and years and years, they said they can't exist, they don't exist, and they did everything to paint many of us as kooks, nuts, and freaks. But now they're admitting that they do, in fact, exist, and they're seeing them, and they're recording them, etc., etc., etc. I think that's pretty cool. Now, this next item is more than interesting. The sun's tilt, the sun's equatorial plane has always remained constant. Now, it does, in fact, the magnetic field does, in fact, flip-flop back and forth after so many years. Okay, it'll reverse its poles. But what they have discovered recently is that the planets rotating around the sun are at a tilt of almost 6 degrees. This is new. Okay? And they have concluded at several observatories, one here in the United States, at the California Institute of Technology, and the other one in, of all places, Nice, France, that there is something just outside our solar system or just inside our solar system that has such a strong gravitational pull that it is pulling the planets, the elliptical orbit of the planets, down towards it. Now, they hypothesize that it is, in fact, Planet 9. This is their words, Planet 9, Planet 10, Planet X, Nibiru, Hercopolis, whatever names you want to use for it. This is now what they're saying. And what's interesting is that they openly talk about, well, this is the hypothesis. It isn't if it exists, okay? What's interesting is that the language is beginning to change in talking about the solar system changes, etc. It's also important to note, and I believe that David Wilcock was one of the first people to actually point this out, was that how the environments, the atmospheres of the planets are getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Well, that's because we're entering the plasma belt, okay, the galactic plane. And we're going to talk about that more here just in a few minutes when we get to Atlantis. most of this webinar is going to be about Atlantis. Because of the similarities to what's happening today. So, the planets in our solar system are being pulled to at least, it's a 6-degree tilt now. They say it's continuing. So this is obviously something we want to watch. Now, it could also be that maybe it isn't Planet 9. Maybe it's the galactic plane that is pulling the planets, to slanting the planets. I'm not exactly sure. But there is a field of gravity there as well, which is what holds the plasma field in its place. So there's clearly a gravitational field there as well. I guess we'll have to see. So that's something we want to look at, and that information was released on July 19th regarding the tilt of the solar system. Several of the leading rabbis in Israel are now openly talking about an interpretation of the Torah, and I do not know which particular chapter that they are referencing, but according to them, they have unequivocal belief that between today, or the 12-12 Friday afternoon today, and the end of this year, that the Hebrew Messiah is going to arrive on Earth. Now, what's interesting is that we also now have Christian leaders saying that Planet X is bringing the Messiah. And I find that interesting because if they had read any of the Sumerian texts, they said that they were gods, but they sure didn't act like gods. So I find that kind of fascinating. But nonetheless, there are books being published now. Planet X is bringing the new Messiah. Jesus is coming on Planet X. It's really quite fascinating. This how the dialogue is now dramatically changing. Okay, and if you remember several years back, as far back as 4 years ago, when some of us were talking about this, we were kooks, nuts, freaks, crackpots, etc. So it is. It is quite fascinating, to say the least. I had an opportunity to ask about the Schumann residence of Earth. And the response that I got once I explained it to Morne exactly what I meant, led into this dialogue regarding Atlantis. Now, in Atlantis, the Schumann residence at one point reached 130. Now, I want you to just sit with that for a minute. Okay, it reached 130. Science said it would never be more than what it is, 7.83. Well, it clearly has quadrupled that nearly. It's interesting how many scientific assumptions there are. And it's wonderful to see how wrong they are a lot of the time. Because, life is all about experience. It's all about discovery. It's all about expansion. It's about spiritually evolving in physical form. And there's going to be a whole lot of that going on, especially if the Schumann residence even gets close to that kind of harmonic again, Hertz. So let's get into Atlantis. Gosh, I'm not exactly sure where to start, but let me just say this. Very soon, they're going to tell you that it was real. They have to. And there's parts of it, remember, it was three very large islands. Two were the size of, nearly the size of Australia. Only one is above water now, but it's buried under miles of ice. Okay? And they know it. And they know it. The Germans knew it. The Nazis knew it as well. So I'm sure you can figure out what I'm talking about. The other two pieces were in the Caribbean and in the Atlantic. Cuba is the mountaintops of what's left of one of those islands. The other island, the largest of the three, which was in the Atlantic, has pretty much sunk completely. Mountain ranges have come up where we have, you know, islands today, but they were not directly connected to the actual landmass of Atlantis. Now, if you remember, we were discussing the galactic plane. Okay, now I'm going to use this piece of paper as the galactic plane. And we talked about how our solar system moves 13 from the point, even with the galactic plane, 13,000 years up, 13,000 years down. And then we cross the plane again completely, 13,000 years down, 13,000 years up, a 52,000 year cycle. Okay? Or a 26,000 year cycle of male, 26,000 year of female frequency. Okay, positive negative energy, however you want to call it. Although positive negative energy does not actually give it justice. At the height of Atlantis, the peak of Atlantis, it was in the southern hemisphere of the galactic plane. Okay, it was in the feminine frequency, which is why it achieved such greatness to legendary status. Now, as Atlantis began to ascend back up through the galactic plane, the frequencies changed. So, well, let me just tell you about the culture of Atlantis while it was in the feminine principle, okay? All life forms glowed of light. Their frequency was so high that they glowed. Everybody could see each other's auras. You could see your own aura because your harmonic was so high. Even for those who had three strands of DNA, most had four, some had five. The extraterrestrials that were living among us, they were off the charts, 7, 8, 9. Some were benevolent, some were neutral, just here to observe or to interact on some kind of business or to share a scientific discovery or scientific knowledge or to acquire scientific knowledge. The dress of the people of Atlantis, and I am talking about approximately 16,700 years ago, was very, very similar to modern-day India today. Yes, okay, they had very sophisticated clothing. Most of it was handmade. Some was made, some of the items were made by craftsmen. Craftswomen, okay, but the dress was very, very similar to that of India today. So it was sophisticated. The spirituality of the people was very New Age, metaphysical. The Catholic Church would call it pagan. That's what it was. They understood the arts. They understood spirituality. They understood the power of sound. And even more important, that I found fascinating, was they completely had an overwhelming knowledge of the healing properties of plant life, sea life, and all things on Earth, including stones, crystals, etc. This knowledge was taught to them and given to them by many extraterrestrial groups that came in and mingled and taught and for a period of time lived amongst the people. Now, apparently Atlantis was an open society. Many extraterrestrial groups would come in and go out. And we're talking about from all walks, all parts of the galaxy. There was an understanding, however, that everyone was treated with respect. And if your frequency was not at a place where you could do that, you were sometimes halted or stopped from actually entering the Earth's atmosphere. They would just deny you access inside Earth's atmosphere if your frequency was not in harmony with where the planet was at the time. The typical lifespan of a human being, and I'm referring to us, on the island of Atlantis was 430 years at that time. Staggering, considering where we are today. Extraterrestrials, it was off the charts. The knowledge that we have of medicinal plants and herbs all came from Atlantis. As the islands got more crowded, the colonial cities of Atlantis, people were migrated out. They went to different parts of the planet. For example, Egypt at this particular time was very lush, very green, very lush, lots of water, lots of lakes, water everywhere. A lot of farming took place there as well. Also in the area we now know as Iraq, the exact same thing. Before Sumer, there were other colonies there. Okay, there were other groups of civilized people living there. As Atlantis got more populated, people moved out. No different than what we do in our world today. As the cities get crowded, people move to the suburbs. And if the suburbs get too crowded, they move out into the country. No different. They had transportation. They had what was called, I can't even pronounce it. I should have written it down, and I apologize for that. But it was like an open carrier, like an open box device that had many seats on it. And it would fly along the Earth's ley lines. Approximately 500 to 700 feet above the ground, it would move along the Earth's ley lines, and where they crossed, where the Earth's ley lines would cross, those would be stations, and people would get off there, and they would typically either walk or take some other mode of transportation, which would have been camel, horseback, or something, to wherever it was that they were going. So mass transit actually existed at that particular time. Today we have aircraft. It's very similar, except their devices were magnetic. It worked deliberately with the Earth's energy field, the ley lines of the Earth's energy field, and they used magnetics to repulse the Earth's gravity. Okay? They didn't use fuel, per se. I don't know if any of these have been found on the Earth. Okay. Let me see. I just want to make sure I cover all this. Okay. The harmonics of the southern half of the galactic plane are a combination of third and fourth density. which is why their bodies glowed. They were able to tap into higher dimensional realms for information, during meditation, for knowledge, for advice, to tap into music that was then brought down and played in instruments here, or in fact channeled. Okay. The influence of the higher dimensional realms on Atlantis and the people were profound. As Atlantis, or as Earth, began to ascend up through the galactic plane, the frequency changed. It began to get lower. The Schumann resonance, as we call it, or the Earth's resonance, began to drop dramatically to a point where it was noticeable that the people were not glowing any longer. Now, you must remember, 13,000 years down, 13,000 years up. It's 26,000 years. Multiple generations of people, okay, living, creating their lives, creating families, no different than today. And all of a sudden, things began to change. And what happened was everything began to get more solid. Physicality began to get more solid. The frequency started to drop. People had a very difficult time adjusting to what was happening. They didn't understand the changes. At this particular time, there were a group of professionals on Atlantis who decided that they were going to introduce politics. And what they did was they adjusted the spiritual practices, and they more or less tried to outlaw them and move everyone towards a more political agenda. Everything is changing. This is what we need to do. We need to have more control over all of your lifestyles so that we can understand what's happening, so that we can help you adjust to the changes, which, of course, was total Bravo Sierra, because they themselves didn't know what was really happening. What they saw was an opportunity to have and take control. And that's exactly what they did. Over a period of 237 years, I think he said, 237 years, it changed from a spiritual to a political society. And once it became political, the society divided into factions. Once it divided into factions, the frequency got much lower because the people were united, the people were not creating the same vision, and they were not moving in the same direction trying to create a better future. Well, what eventually happened is they cleared the southern hemisphere of the galactic plane. They are now in the northern, where it was a very predominantly male frequency. They began to fight with each other. They began to war with other countries, with colonies. And it eventually ended with the destruction of Atlantis through a war where a meteor was thrown at them, at the largest of the islands, which led to dramatic changes, including pole shifting, etc. Now, what's happening today is literally the opposite of that, although it looks like the same thing. Okay, galactic plane. We are now in the plasma field, okay, which is why the frequency and the energy of everything is changing. We are now moving through the galactic plane. What's happening is the energy is expanding. Our energy fields are expanding. Everything is changing. And once again, we have our politicians and our scientists not really trying to explain what's going on. They see it, they register it, they talk about it amongst themselves, but no one is willing to come out and just say, look, this is what it is, because they don't believe it. How could this be possible? My model says this. We cannot deviate from our model. Okay? Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. What's happening now is we are crossing the galactic plane, and our bodies are becoming more in tune. They are becoming more open to frequencies, to energy, to knowledge. We are beginning to remember, because of the higher frequencies raising our DNA, remembering past lives. We are remembering knowledge, cellular knowledge we have in our bodies. Much of this to the surprise of many. How would I know something like that? How would I intuitively know that? And I hear about that all the time. I hear people talking about this in the grocery store, you know, about, you know, I hadn't heard from my brother in 4 years, a woman was saying the other day, and I was thinking about him just this morning, and I was thinking, you know, he needs to call me. And she said within 10 minutes he called. She's sharing this with the cashier. And I hear these stories all the time. This is becoming more and more commonplace. Now, as this happens, as the expansion continues, which it's going to, ladies and gentlemen, we have to recreate a view of ourselves. And what I mean by that is you have to continuously remake, redefine who you want to be. And I'm not here to tell anybody that there's something wrong, because that's just simply not true. Everyone's doing the very best they can. But you are creators, okay? The people in the government are not creating this reality. The extraterrestrials living underground, they're not creating this reality. The extraterrestrials out in the solar system, they're not creating this reality. The creation of this reality, what gives it solidity, what holds it together, is us, the people. Now, the government tries to intervene and put a different idea in our heads. We're using fear, deceit, tactics, whatever you want to call it, to lead us down a road. The underground alien groups, the regressive groups, they have predominantly used fear and religions to move us down this particular road. Okay? And they continue to do that today. But if we can just remember that we are not them, if we can just remember that we are the ones creating this reality, by just agreeing to it, we validate it, we give it the solidity we see. If we want to make dramatic changes, if we want to make changes where we want more abundance, we all want better health, we want to live a spiritual, impassioned life, we want to be passionate about what it is that we do for a living or what we want to do to contribute to humanity, then we have to start thinking in those terms. Because as the frequency gets higher, physical manifestation of your thoughts becomes faster and faster and faster. There is no slowing it down. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no way you're going to stop thinking. Okay, that's just not possible. Okay, even in meditation, you're thinking about not thinking. Okay, you cannot stop thinking. So, and I mentioned this several webinars ago when I shared with you that the electronic fence had come down. Okay, now we have all these frequencies coming in to the Earth. from the outside. Love, guidance, knowledge, wisdom. Whether we know it or not, we're getting it. And it isn't just from the aliens. It is from all sentient life in our galaxy. It is information coming through the central sun, through all the stars. Okay, the stars are not these mass balls of gas. They're electric. Okay, the energy that fuels the stars comes from a higher dimension. You are multidimensional, whether you realize it or not, even if you are in total denial of it, you are still multidimensional. You are getting multidimensional energy every single day just because of our sun. That's where its energy comes from. So you might as well just already put that in your head, okay, I'm multidimensional. Because you are. You absolutely are. And for my Christian friends who have pounded me on this, the fact that you have a soul that goes to either heaven or hell means that you are multidimensional. You have soul. Okay, that soul doesn't die with the body, does it? That force, that energy, that is you, goes somewhere. That means that the energy had to be created somewhere else. Okay? And that's a fact. You are also multidimensional, no matter how much you choose not to believe it. And it's just, it's frustrating because it is so plainly obvious, at least to me, you know, what's happening here. When you dream and you travel, and when you dream in color and you travel and you go to different places, when you come back, most of the time you know you've been someplace else, okay? And that's a higher frequency. It's a higher dimension, okay? Again, the whole multidimensional aspect. It is absolutely imperative everybody gets this, because it will help you adjust to the different shifts in frequency as they come. And ladies and gentlemen, they are coming. They are absolutely coming, okay? There are many things that are going to be played out here in the next several years. You know, both positive and negative. It is imperative that you not only grasp your multidimensionality, but it's also imperative that you be willing to make a decision about what it is that you want and what it is that you don't want. Being the observer now is good. It's excellent. It's an excellent place to be. Because as the observer, not only are you allowing yourself to be in tune, but you are also watching the separation of the frequencies. Okay? You have the frequencies that are rising, and you have the frequencies that are lowering. It is really, really clear. You can see that if you're truly observing, you can see it as clear as night and day. You need to make a choice what it is that you want. Because where focus goes, energy flows. And if you want to be empowered, if you want to create a reality for yourself, for your family, for all of your loved ones, then you need to be proactive, and now is the time to do that. But it requires a shift in consciousness about how you see yourself. You are not just this. You never have been. That was all Bravo Sierra, okay? And they want you to believe that. They want you to stay in that space. They do. The power of healing plants, the power of nature, carries with it a frequency. The pharmaceutical companies, when they create medicines, counterfeiting the healing properties of plants. The issue is it doesn't have a frequency. It doesn't carry any frequency. If it carries any frequency, it's a negative frequency. It is not a life-giving positive frequency, something that was in fact alive. That is really, really important to know. It's also important to know in regards to your food the same thing. Okay? Your body is your temple. Your body is an antenna. You know, your DNA vibrates. It does, it vibrates. It's vibrating all the time. It's vibrating right now. Okay, as you're sitting wherever you're sitting. That's because it's picking up frequency. It is relating frequency. It is acknowledging the frequency. It is absorbing and processing that frequency through your DNA. And everything that you've ever experienced is there. It's all recorded in your energy field. Okay? What happened with Atlantis is similar. What happened towards the end of Atlantis is very similar to what is happening today. The blessing for us, however, is that we're going to be moving through this, hopefully relatively quickly, into a very positive, loving, feminine frequency. And frankly, it can't happen soon enough. Adapting to fourth density is something we all need to be thinking about. Now, there is a great deal of chatter, and this is mostly around CERN, about opening portals and negative things coming out. Okay, well, I have to tell you, the reason we're having that chatter is, one, they want to create fear, okay? Because fear works. It stops you in your tracks. It lowers your vibration. It keeps you submissive because you're afraid. Because the governments of the world have convinced you that they can take care of you. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the biggest problem Sierra ever. You know, they can't. You know, the only hand that you should ever rely on is the one at the end of your arm. Okay? Because of the mindset of those scientists and the building of what they built and the intention for that device, that is why they are drawing to them such negative field. You understand? Because of their focus, what their focus was, what their intent was. That's why they're drawing that negative field to them. We don't go there, okay? We just don't go there. We create something else. We create something positive, something nurturing, something humane, something that involves all of humanity, regardless of race, color, and creed, okay? There is no doubt we can do this because we're already doing it. We're already doing it now. We have created this Vidya, this holograph, that we are living in right now as we speak. Okay, all we have to do is shift it a little bit and say, okay, we're going to expand it, and we're going to create this. We're going to add this piece, this piece, this piece. We're going to add more spirituality. We're going to add more natural healing powers and abilities. We are going to add more psychic intuitive energy, and we are going to add brotherly love, unconditional love to all beings on this planet. That's all we have to do. Here we talk about it. Here we have to actually expand it and create the space for it and then walk it. Okay? One of the hardest things to do is to walk it. Religions will be going away. They should have gone away 400 years ago. Okay? They've outlived their purpose. They've outlived their usefulness. None of them actually have it right, frankly, okay? They haven't, except maybe Buddhism. Well, Buddhism isn't really a religion. It's a practice, so I don't count that, okay? But the big three, it's time to retire. Okay, it is in fact time to retire, and you've done okay throughout history, mostly, but now it's ridiculous. Okay, it is just ridiculous. The soul's journey, the entire purpose of the soul's journey through dimensions into third density and then back up. And not every soul makes this journey, by the way, okay, is to bring you back to yourself. And that's an entire different conversation, okay? It is imperative we hold the light here, especially for these next 7 or 8 years. Nibiru is moving. I did not have a chance to get an update on that. The conversation was really short, unfortunately, but it is moving, but so are we. Okay, here's the sun. Nibiru is coming up behind and coming across this way. We are moving in this direction. Hopefully we will be completely out of the way or on the other side of the sun when this sucker leaves, or as it's on its way out. It remains to be seen. I will certainly keep you updated next week, or 2 weeks, I think, we have our next talk. Okay? So much is happening. And what's fascinating is that even though time seems to be speeding up, it's weird, but at the same time, there seems to be more time. Unless it's just me. I'm not sure, but it's like my days seem longer, even though they seem to fly by. I don't get it. Maybe it's just because I try to spend so much time outside, you know, in nature, in the sun. Anyway, I got through this a lot quicker than I thought I would. JP, you can start pushing buttons now for Q&A.
Okay, so several unmutings later, because I got to fade up the mic, I got to click this, click that, get myself back into the broadcast, stop this, click here, and so I'll just actually just leave your picture there rather than me swapping back and forth, because, well, you know, nobody wants to see me. Anyway, actually, nobody wants to hear me. They just rather I just didn't, you know, telepathically send the message, they just heard your voice all the time, but, you know. Tough. But you got to hear me. I have the encoding. All right. So thank you for that, Alex. Very good, very good, interesting discourse about Atlantis. You know, some nuggets there I hope people haven't heard before. So now back to today and what's going on around us. And the psychological operation that is trying to make us all scared. So this is from Mike Kelly. Hi, Alex. Would you mind sharing some personal details about how you process these monthly terrorist attacks? Being the observer isn't easy, says Mike. How do you process this?
No, it's not, Michael. No, it's not. What I try to do is I try to bless everyone that's been involved, and in fact, that's what I do, is I bless everyone who's been involved, and that I hope and I send the frequency that whatever happens is for everyone's highest good. The truth is, I don't know why these things happen. There are many things that have happened in my own personal life that were tragic that I don't understand why they happened. But nonetheless, it did. And what you try to do is you try to put it in perspective and you try to acknowledge the events. You send love and empathy to those who suffered, and you try to send forgiveness to those who perpetrated the act. And then you move on. There is no point staying in that frequency because, you know, our job is to continue to evolve. And the best thing that I can do for those around me is for me to continue to evolve and to be, God, I hate to use this army term, be all you can be, okay? you know, but, you know, what is the limit to that? What is the limit to all that I can be? I don't know. I hope I never find out. I hope I continue to just, you know, become more, become better, more in love with who I am, more respect myself more and continue to respect myself more and more and more. And that all comes with knowledge and experience and spiritual knowledge as well. That's it.
Exactly. My advice is don't get caught up in the intrigue of it. Just like you say, you know, recognize that's a false flag. Obviously, okay, what next? You know, not to worry about people or think about the serial numbers of the weapons involved and all this rubbish. That's what keeps people caught up. Okay, so from Jean or Jean, it seems that after the coup, Turkey is taking a stand against the West and probably siding with Putin. Would you agree that the 180-degree turn of Erdogan a major blow for the cabal?
The West has always had trouble with Turkey. And there is no doubt that the West, the U.S., has made a lot of mistakes. And in many cases, their intention to do business, to supply weaponry, etc., to supply money, that their intentions have been to a degree nefarious. There's no doubt about that. Was the West behind the coup? I don't know. My concern, if I had one, and this is an observation, is that we have nuclear weapons in Turkey. We need to get them out of there as fast as possible. They need to be brought home as fast as possible, because we still have military people there who are now trapped. So what the ins and outs of that were, of the coup, I don't know exactly. Might be a little more, we might need more time for that all to shake out. But you know, there was a time when the U.S. was really looked up to. It was really, really admired. And that's before we allowed corporate fascists to take over the ruling management of the day-to-day affairs of this government. And as Bernie Sanders would say, the system is rigged. No question about it. None whatsoever. But it needs to be fixed somehow. And I don't know if on a political level that's the way to do it. Maybe we need to just, again, go back to that spiritual space of expanding ourselves and creating what we want, calling it forth, pulling it, creating a new domain of knowing, as Visayas would say, okay, and calling that information, that space, calling for what we want, calling it forth, making it happen, okay, and not waiting for other people who are not spiritual beings to create that for us. I just don't see that happening. I don't think they're capable of doing that. You know, they have been wearing the mask of control and deceit for so long. I don't see them taking that mask off. I just don't. So we have to do the work. You know, we have to fight the fight, so to speak. And that's all I got on that.
From Lauren. She always asks good questions. I think it's Lauren as a she. Anyway, hope you are. Can Earth's alternate timeline be accessed in a dream state? I think yes. I visited this reality in a dream. And yes. Can you talk about my experience is that when I go to sleep and I wake up, I'm on a slightly altered timeline every time, and it's like I'm bubbling up.
Okay.
Going up into different bubbles of my sleep.
Here's my theory on that. And you're not alone on this. There are many others, including a very, very dear friend of mine, who has the same experience. What's happening is that on the two timelines that are merging, there is a part of you on the other side that already feels the exact same way you do. It knows that something's wrong. It may even have knowledge that it's merging into a timeline, into another time reality. And then there's you here knowing the same information. So what is happening is that the two of you are somehow touching each other. Remember, a timeline is a frequency. It's a very thin line of a frequency. And all you two have to do is just touch. You wouldn't actually touch each other, but just get close enough to that frequency barrier where you would just be able to communicate and see each other and know what each other is feeling. You would do that. So that when it happens is, and then when it's over with, you come back and your other half goes back. So you are accessing the other side as the other half of you is accessing this side. So that sounds like Batal to me, because what you're doing is you are bridging the gap to make sure that, and there are others doing this, you guys are basically connecting the timelines so that the merging comes through and is very easy, it's very settled, and as it comes in, there isn't this huge, dramatic, horrible event or a series of events. That's my theory on that. It sounds like Batal.
Does this mean that wherever one of these beings exists, there would exist a field, say 30, 40 miles around them, that would be drawn into that new reality as, and if we have them covering the Earth, we would connect together like the plates on a turtle's back? Is that the idea?
Yes. Exactly right.
Cool. I like that.
It's like you have a cell phone and then you put a protective screen over the glass of it. It's very similar to that. And eventually what happens is you forget the glass is there, the protector is there, and now it's just the phone. That's what's happening. The reality is overlaying itself. Now, the Earth herself is raising her frequency, which is why the Schumann resonance is going so high. She has decided which harmonic is going to be the authentic one. So this negative field, this other timeline, as it's merging in, you will see the Earth dramatically increase her vibration so that there is virtually, the assimilation is virtually non-existent. Okay? Because the negative energy is going to be absolved in all this positive frequency of light. That's what it is. But the consciousness of humanity on that side is different than us. There could be some real interesting ramifications of that, because they're copies of us. If our frequency were to drop and this remained the higher frequency, this second timeline, this German Nazi timeline, this fascist timeline, would become the authentic timeline. We can't ever allow that to happen. No way can we allow that to happen. Okay? So we have to be on board with the mother here as she's raising her frequency. We need to continue to do the same, consciously make an effort to do the same, so that these timelines come right in and we can just move ahead and build and create an incredible future. Not for just us, but for future generations behind us, of which there will be many.
Oh, beautifully put, Alex. Really, like, nuggeted. Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, because, you know, and you know, we maybe these other beings of ours, these other, you know, like, it's like this. All right, so there's the alternate JP, right? And he's probably you know, a member of the Nazi party and doesn't play jazz. How do I deal with this asshole?
Okay. Interesting, you would go there. You, of all people, would go there.
Me, of all people, yeah. You because I've there. Been looking at the 1930s and everything.
Okay. For one thing, it's a huge assumption that that person's an asshole. It's a huge assumption to think that they actually have a choice in that reality to be a free thinker. Fascism, by its very definition, literally enslaves all aspects of life. And you either conform or you're out. So it's not like you're given choices. It could be that the other you is doing everything it can to survive while pretending to go along. That's what I think. Knowing the original copy, knowing the original version, as I do, that is highly more likely than the fact that he's an asshole.
I'm sure that somewhere on some timeline there's a very... Anyway, long story. for that little affirmation there, but bless your heart. Go ahead.
That's it. That's all I got. All right. I'm gonna stop right there.
I know. I mean, when I look back at all your work, there are things that are very apparent from what you haven't been saying. It's like there's a big kind of Nazi-shaped, there's a big swastika-shaped hole in what you've been saying. It's like, oh, I'm seeing it now. So anyway, I'll leave other people to figure that out. Okay, so Rancher. Hi, last week in southern Sweden and Denmark, 12th to 14th of July, we could see, check this, a noctilucent cloud storm. Basically, glowing clouds at night and dawn, which is actually they're the color of your shirt. And the past 2 weeks, I feel clouds in general have become more fluffy and alive than ever before. Anything you can share about this? cool question, eh?
Yeah. No, I think that's awesome for you. I think it's great that you're actually observing those things and paying attention to that. But I don't necessarily have anything to add to that. I know the energy is getting better. And I know that the losing side, the regressive side, or the side that holds the negative field, they are losing ground and they're getting pretty desperate. And there's a part of me that really feels for them because they've been wearing their mask for so long. And they did their job so well of holding negative field that they simply are not going to have a clue what to do with themselves once that whole shit falls apart. They're just going to be wandering around like zombies because they're just not going to know what to do with all the light. You know, they have vested no time in creating or holding the light for themselves. And it's going to be very interesting to see how they handle it, if they can handle it at all. So...
Hence
but as far as your weather, no, I don't have a lot to say about that.
So one thing about noctilucent clouds is that they're actually much higher up. They're almost like water in space, like space clouds.
Yes, they are.
Because they kind of bounce off the
edge. They hold a lot of crystalline moisture,
right,
which reflects light, you know?
Yes. Which brings us to the next question from Sonia. I had a dream that they were making crystals out of captured ETs using a compression machine. I think this was back in the times of Atlantis. Does this resonate?
No, it doesn't. Maybe the interpretation of crystal is knowledge. Maybe a lot of the lost knowledge that we were given that was of a very high spiritual nature is being released and is coming back, and therefore you interpret it making a crystal, which is solidified light. It's the knowledge. We're getting the knowledge back. I don't know. That's interesting. I will have to ask. I'm not aware that we did stuff like that in Atlantis. So, that's all I got. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So, here's a great one from Chanta. Chanta. Hi, Alex. Just wanted to say your lucid dreaming tip worked. No more giants, but other great things in my dreams. Thank you. That's not a question, just a thing. All right. But
it's all part of the service.
It's lovely. This is from El Basan, and this is a really, really good question. Was alcohol the fall of Atlantis, or the partly the cause of the fall of Atlantis? Because just to add a little thing, is I had a recollection of I spoke to my crystal and I said, "What do you want to clean? What do you want to be cleaned with?" And they said, "Alcohol." And my then girlfriend said, "Oh yeah, we used to use that to clean crystals in Atlantis." So maybe people started getting high off the crystal cleaning fluid.
Well, if
anyway, your reality.
If Morne is right, that you know everybody used what the Earth gave, then the alcohol would probably be some type of crane alcohol. And that will get just lost in a heartbeat. So nasty stuff, though. I honestly don't know if that was the fall. It may have been a contributing factor. You know, maybe as the frequency got so dense and those who could remember the higher frequency, they just couldn't handle it, so they medicated themselves to make themselves feel better or lighter. You know, maybe that's possible. But I do not have any specific information regarding that.
Interesting. I mean, that's what's happening.
It is interesting.
But with Prozac and everything else. I mean, look at opioids in the in medicine. You know,
Yeah.
Anyway, meanwhile, from Lena, when is the Earth going to cross the galactic plane? So you were talking about it earlier. So, like, when's this going to happen? Or, you know, I imagine it's a process. When does it start? When does it stop?
I don't have that date. I have asked twice. I have not been given that information yet. And I will continue to badger him until I get it, okay? Because I want to know. So
I'm going to tell you.
You just encouraged me to badger him again, so I will do so.
When are we going to be there?
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Yeah, I went to an inner child workshop, and that's what I got. Anyway, that was zero. Okay, yeah. Really good one. From Sylvia, does Atlantis still exist in another dimension? And what about Mu?
Okay, what was that first part of the question? Does Atlantis still exist?
Does Atlantis still exist in another dimension? This is something I've had a kind of glimpse of. Again, the idea that they saw the big rock coming and did something that surrounded themselves with some sort of energetic time phase that slowed everything down, but maybe they're still existing somehow, even though from our perspective they were smashed to the smithereens.
Okay. The Atlantis that we know of in history, it is gone. But when you get into the upper fourth and in fifth density, you're going to think everything is Atlantis. Okay? Just because of the nature of the existence that the people have created for themselves. They got it. They got the message, especially in fifth density. Okay, they know. I don't know if it's just experience. I don't know if it's experience with the spiritual evolution and the compassion that they feel or have learned to build and expand within themselves. But they have created a utopia for themselves. And they are incredibly protective of it because they value it. They know the value of what it is that they've created, and they're protecting it. The Atlantis in a bubble, no. There are two timelines, the one we're on and the one that's merging where the Nazis used alien technology from Aldebaran. That is merging into this one. That's all that I'm aware of.
And is that the reason for this so-called Mandela effect? Is that on one timeline, all the Bibles and all these things had different wording, and in this timeline, or the organic timeline, it is as we remember it, but we're being overlaid with the material, the reality world, the physical things like books and TV shows and things like that, coming back from the alternate timeline. Is that something like that? We're seeing the material of it? I'm just trying to understand how this thing works.
Okay. I haven't read anything about the Mandela
effect. It's called the Mandela effect, where some people remember Mandela dying sometime in the 80s, and apparently he just died like a couple of years ago. That's what that's why they call it. Some people are remembering some things, and some people are remembering other things. Like, do you remember these the Berenstain Bears?
The Berenstain Bears?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So, how was that spelled?
STIEN.
Exactly. Now, if you look on the web now, you see that it's now Berenstain. STAIN. I'm not kidding. These are things that are popping up all over the place. Even the Bible. Even the Bible in Luke, I can't remember. I think it's 1734 or something like that. 1734. It says, go and get your stuff. It doesn't say go and get your belongings. It says go and get your stuff. I've never, ever heard the Bible have the word stuff in it before.
No, that's not a word they used in those days at all.
Yeah. No, it doesn't work. You know, so there are these things that are what people are noticing as what they call as general the Mandela effect, which I believe is exactly what you're talking about from the experience point of view.
Okay. I'll look into it. I will definitely look into it. It wouldn't surprise me, but, you know, if you look at the ancient, you know, getting back to the Bible, if you go forward from 600 AD and you go back to 33 AD, many of them tell a very different story and say very different things, use very different language than all the Bibles after 600 AD. They do. And then when you get to the St. James Bible, which was put together by Sir Francis Bacon for King James, it had changed again dramatically as far as the language and the meanings of words. So I guess it's possible for both things to be possible.
Great. So now let's go on to the next question, which is from... all right. Well, this is not a question. This is from Pamela. I'm at 15 degrees north of the equator on the Pacific coast of Mexico, and I am seeing water spin counterclockwise down my drain, opposite to the normal.
That's not surprising. The Earth's magnetic field is reacting to Planet X. That's not surprising at all. There's a lot of very different, interesting things happening that really the major media simply refuses to even discuss because their owners, their masters, will not allow them to talk about these things because they want to keep us in the dark so that when everything comes down the way they want it to, they want us to react in fear because that gives them the total, that gives them the control that they want, you know. And the added benefit is that the regressives, they get to feed off all the fear. It's like a narcotic for them. So they get the two-for-one special, you know, by doing it this way.
So James is just supposed to this. King James Bible, then thou shalt bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight as stuff for removing, and as thou shalt go forth of the even in their sight as they go forth into captivity. So I'm not familiar with stuff in the Bible. But anyway, crazy stuff, what's going on today? From Lauren, did you see the article about the Queen admitting she is not human? Apparently it was published on royal.uk, but was almost immediately taken down. Have you heard about this little vignette?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did hear about that. And I think it was really huge of her to admit that. I do. Yeah. Kudos to the Queen.
Yeah. However it came out. All right. So, now, here's a good one. From Albasan, once again. If it will take 3 or 5 generations to fix the DNA, future humans can expect to live how long in the next generations?
It would not surprise me if the life expectancy did not reach at least the 400s again. For some, it could be more. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if the life expectancy went back into the 400s. Yeah, because those of Atlantis who had 3 strands of DNA that were active, they lived into the 400s. Commonly, it was common. That's a good life, you know?
Good evening.
If you look back at this one, and you're in that one, and you're like, you know, I remember this one, you get a lot more done with a lifespan of 400 years. So, you know, a lot more free time.
Yeah, imagine being able to learn piano and stuff.
It would probably take me 400 years to learn the piano. Yeah.
You just start slowly, eh? You just do it. And following in perfectly from this, are there instruments in other places in the universe, or are humans special in their instruments? I'm sure they mean musical instruments.
You know, that's a great question. I've never seen a musical instrument. When I've been with the A's, but the way we create music is entirely unique to any other race that they're aware of. And that's something we should all be very, very proud of. We're extraordinary in that way. And they are in awe, in fact, not only of some of the modern music, not all of it, but some of it, but especially the classical music that is created on our planet. They are enamored with our classical music because the different melodies and the notes and the waves and the sounds of the music and the way they are merged, the A's specifically, they use their camera to take pictures of stars, moons, etc., planets. And then what they do is they will merge those together and create music. But they're the sounds of the universe. We, and we've talked about this in past webinars, we as a species, those of us who write music, seem to just pull it out of nowhere. And they are really quite enamored by that. It's a greater skill in the galaxy than we realize. It really is. And it is something that our species can be extremely proud of.
So my campfire guitar might be welcome on Alpha Centauri.
You will at least get a drink or two of Romulan.
Oh, excellent.
A few Romulan ales, I'm sure.
Do you think the guitar works universally? It's a fan thing, isn't it? Yeah.
I'd love to teach
guitar to five-fingered ET Greys. You know, check this. You can do some great chords with those.
You could probably teach them, but you might want to have some extra strings with you. Getting replacements might be difficult.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so brilliant. Where are we? All right, now I just want to say, Sherry, it's not a silly question. She says silly question, but important to me, it's not a silly question. It's a really good question. So, with your knowledge of ETs, Alex, do you think there are what we call fairies in this third dimensional plane?
Yes, yes, yes. There are fairies. There definitely are, but they are on the higher. They are somewhere between the. How do I put this? They are literally fourth density, but some of them have the ability to move into third density. But they are in that. They are right in that slim band of third and fourth density, where the two frequencies, the two harmonics, join. That is where they exist. Okay. And some of them have learned the ability to move into third density. They like the nature here, though. They like the nature. They like the solidity. They like the deep colors of third density a great deal. And that's what I know.
Okay, from the fairies to the demons. Why, from Mark, why do the money grubbers worship Baphomet? And what does that have to do with the planet Saturn? Dun, dun, dun.
I don't understand the question, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's, you know, why are, well, it's, why are Satanists Satanists, and why does Satanists worship Satan? So, you know.
It's because they resonate to a different, they resonate to a negative field, you know, and to them money is power, power is control, and control makes them feel safe. The problem is you can allow that to not only consume you, but it consumes your world at some point. Because there's no balance. And it's all about balance. Everything's about balance. And whatever isn't in balance will get whacked until it is in balance. So, but as far as whoever that being was, I don't know. You know, I don't know what that's about.
He's, well, anyway, he's the goat boy thing with the Abraham Lincoln pose. All right, staying a little bit on the dark side, and then we'll come back to something lighter. Hi, Alex, do you know if the Draco have the ability to psychically kill someone? Max Spears was giving an interview when he was discussing Michael Aquino was a prime Draco, and Max started feeling psychically attacked and died shortly after. Blessings to Max and all he shared. So... can the Draco psychically kill someone?
I don't know that they can. I do not know the answer to that.
Okay. From Jean-Claude. Now, this is now personal. May I gently and politely remind you of a request, a one-on-one Skype call. Is happy to donate to you directly or to a charity of your choosing. We're definitely going to have to get that aspect of things going. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I guess we do. If you know, one or two people are interested, I suppose I could do that. You know, one or two people.
You'd be surprised.
You're right, I would be. Why don't you send me another email? Yours, the last one, if you sent one to me, might be 300 or 400 or 500 deep at this point. So why don't you send
can,
a fresh
can you
one
give them a code?
Send
give
a fresh
a code
one
that you can put in the yeah. Okay.
Well, in where it says, you know, title, just put in, you know, Skype reference webinar. Okay? And if anyone else is interested in maybe doing this, you know, I don't have any particulars on how to do this just yet. But let's just see if anybody's even interested. You know. You know, maybe you're already sick of me. So I don't know. We'll just see. We'll just see what happens.
From Catherine. Given the expansion as we move deeper into the galactic plane, what may be the best way to support those with compromised brains, like elderly with dementia or the mentally ill? Yeah, how do we look after these people?
I would think just patience. I don't know. You see, none of us knows other people's journey. I mean, we're all still trying to figure out our own journeys. But for people who have dementia or Alzheimer's or brain damage due to an accident or something, you know, continue to be loving, to send them unconditional love, and show them considerable patience. You know, we don't know what their journey is. It could be that the lights will go back on for them. Or it could be that they reach a certain point and that's where the end of their journey is. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know that for myself. So, but, you know, the golden rule is treat others as you want to be treated. You know, and that's a rule I live by. So that's how I would answer that, is to treat others the way you want to be treated.
There you go. Because one day we may all end up with brains like jelly. Just for a few days. Try not to get into trouble. All right. So here's a question from Harry Jan. Can Alex authenticate his present communication with Morinne as telepathic or direct contact for a person listening, as to remove any doubts in their minds that may be taunting people, so we have a solid page to remove the nefarious out of our field? Awesome. People really need to hear this from Alex. Well, you know. but they're saying, are you in contact with him telepathically, or do you actually meet him, you know, in a bar? There's a guy sitting in the corner, you have a table, you know, rose and all that. No, just kidding.
Well, we meet in Duntui. No, seriously. It is both telepathic and it is both physical. And sometimes it is in the dream state where my soul is pulled out of my body and I'm taken to his ship. So there are actually three avenues of which this could occur. It all depends on the frequency of what's going on here, and it all depends on what's going on out there. Because there is a great deal of, what's the word I want to use, rebellious activity going on along our asteroid belt in our solar system. Sometimes it's calm, and many other times it's not. So depending upon what's happening there, that depends on the form of contact.
Thank you. That's good. Oh, from Patty, what should we be praying for? What should our focus be? Short and sweet.
Your focus should be on what is it that you want. What do you want? You know? It's on what you want. And believe it or not, it isn't all that different from what other people want. So, if I were you, that's what I would be praying for. I would be praying to create the reality that you want, that makes you happy, that makes you joyous, that makes you passionate about your life. That's my answer to you. We have to do our job, and we will do our job as well.
Thanks, Alex. From Birgit. What's the A's favorite healing tools or methods?
Sound. Overlight and sound.
Yeah, I mean, you spoke about that holographic camera. That's fascinating. All right. Do you want to go further?
Yeah, let's go until they chase me out.
Okay. Catherine, this past week, Benjamin Fulford reported a list of several well-known members of the Regressive Leaders and Fascists now have a bounty on their heads for 1 ton of gold to be given for each caught or arrested with a phone number to court and check out the bona fide claim. Have you heard of this?
I have. Who's paying the tons?
Yeah. Do the Dragon Society, apparently.
Do the tons actually exist? And then the question is that even real? You know, I know a lot of people who would kill these pricks for free just to get them out of here. Just to get them out of here because they keep mucking up everything, you know? But I don't know if that's real or not. I really don't.
All right, so this is slightly humorous, but there's a possibility. This is Mark. Will we bounce off the galactic plane like a, you know, rubber ball? Is there harness that bounces off?
That's a concern. That is, in fact, a concern. And I talked about that years ago, actually, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, I think. That's a concern, but I have chosen not to... to focus on that because it creates indecision and fear. I think what we need to do is we need to be resolute in the idea that we're going to hold the light, we're going to create the light, and we're going to fill our space with light. End of story. So for me, being resolute in that is where I stand.
We should finish around this moment because that's a beautiful thing to say. Or have you got still some moments?
Yeah, let's go for another question or two.
Okay. All right. This is from Sonia. I hear high-pitched tones sometimes. I personally, Jeremy, hear loads of high-pitched tones all the time. Sometimes it sounds like a kind of Morse code. What would you know this may be? What would you know what this may be for? XX.
Well.
Kiss, kiss.
Well, it could be a physical affliction, or what it more than likely is that when you hear tones like that and you're especially out and about and you'll turn your head just in a way and then you'll hear it on the right or you'll hear it on the left, typically what that means is that spirit is near you. So it could be a past loved one, or it could be a spirit guide. Could be someone that protects you, guides you, that's in the spirit realm. Typically, that's kind of where it is, if it is not a physical affliction. Okay, it usually means spirits near you. And you're picking up their frequency, okay, which means you're doing very well.
Is this thing when everything goes quiet in one ear and then you suddenly hear a single pure tone?
Yeah, that means spirit's near.
Oh, man.
And then if I were you, the woman who's asking this question, I would stop and I would get really quiet if I can and then ask them to share with you who they are and what their reason is for visiting you and see if you can create a dialogue. It would only benefit you. So
that's just a very, very. I know the questioner, and she's a very psychic person. So that could be a brilliant introduction to a new dialogue. From Mark, orbs. Have you heard of orbs, Alex?
Yes, I have.
What are they? Says Mark.
They're the same thing. They're spiritual entities visiting. Sharing your space, watching and protecting.
Yeah, Sonia's saying, I usually see ETs flying around my room. I have photos. Okay.
Why don't you let them sit down? How can they have to fly around? Why don't you give them a chair?
Maybe there's no way for them to
sit. Stay a while.
Well, actually, seriously, though, there are, you know, we like to sit on chairs, but there must be environments that will be congenial to different life forms. I remember my my Steiner educated children were encouraged to create a nature table in the house where the fairies could hang out. You know, they had little plants and, you know, bits of wood, and so a natural place in the house.
That's cool. That's cool.
You ever heard anybody do that? Like,
that definitely didn't happen in my neighborhood.
You don't live in Findhorn, you see. We live in Findhorn.
Oh, I sure don't. Right.
All right, so from Rancher, this is just coming in. I have extremely vivid dreams and visions, but I rarely remember anything audible or telepathic. I mostly experience feeling things. Any advice if I want to actually hear things to when the feelings don't give me context? Ah, feelings without context. Now there's a subject.
I'm being guided to tell you that you should, if you can, immediately go outside, maybe sit on your porch, sit on your front steps or your back steps. Be outside and call that information to you. What happens is that when you wake up, you're not at all grounded. If you go outside, the earth will ground you, and you will have some access to that information.
Ah, as the current passes through you.
Correct.
Ah, interesting. Uh-huh. All right. Now, current, plasma, Elbazan. I saw plasma leaving the floor of my room. My dog started digging where it left, trying to put me to sleep, but refused and saw it leave. That didn't kind of make any sense, but... I think the dog, she said the dog, she saw plasma leaving the floor and then the dog was digging in that same place.
Well, yeah, he's probably like, what the hell? What's under there?
It's makes like sense. Red dot the laser.
It makes sense. Well, you know, what's interesting, though, is that, you know, plasma has a smell to it. So, and, you know, dogs, their olfactory is very, very strong. So it could be that there was still some residue in the floor. And that's what he was digging for. He knew there was more. That's interesting. I hadn't heard that one before. That's cool.
That is an interesting one.
Yeah.
The smell of plasma, is that the smell like ozone, like you get on the underground railway?
Yes, that's exactly right. It's like a really strong lightning bolt, and then the big bang. It smells like that. Yes.
I like that smell, actually, yeah. Sherry is in her 50s, bless your heart. What a young pup you are. Will my DNA get an upgrade, do you think?
Yeah, you're just a babe in the woods, hon. You're definitely going to get an upgrade.
Not even out of school yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're just out of diapers now, so you're good. You're good.
Now, here's an interesting another one from Patty. If the Messiah is in Nibiru, should we stop praying for it to dissolve or go away?
Well, listen, you got to remember. Well, you know, that's a great question. And you have to remember, though, that for 1,500 years, the teachings of the church have called this whole scenario forth, okay, because people believed it. People prayed for it, people envisioned it, people believed it, and again, this is where I say, you know, there's negative field and there's positive field. Pick one and focus on creating what you want. This is going to, they're going to play this out. Someone's going to play this out for humanity, for the billion or plus people who have created this vision because you've asked for it. Now, will it be the Son of God Ladies and gentlemen, I have been saying this for 25 years since day one. The first group we meet are going to pretend to be friendlies, but they are not friendlies. And once they have you marked and tagged, then they're going to show their true hand. So you need to remain the observer. It's imperative that you remain the observer with this and just watch this thing play itself out. And you damn sure don't get on a starship and go with them anywhere. You stay here. You stay home. Guys, I got to go. They're waving me.
Excellent. Alex Collier, thank you so much. Any final sentences?
Many of you listening are going to pick up where I leave off. And what I mean by that is when my life ends, many of you will pick it up and you will continue. And there will be many more visitations and contacts by other people. It's going to ramp up again very quickly here by benevolence, okay? By benevolence. Thank you for your time. I know it's precious, and I certainly don't want to abuse it. And I am more grateful for your attention and your time than I could ever say in words. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you again soon. Take care.